at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right, good morning, St. Louis. Welcome to another exciting edition of the KMOX Home Improvement Show, where we tackle all your burning questions about your home. Let's try and make your house your home. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and I'm here to guide you through a maze of home improvement challenges. Whatever you need, whether you're just wondering about maybe the best paint colors to use, how to fix a leaky faucet, if you're embarking on a full-scale renovation project, we've got you covered. But remember, this show is all about you, so pick up the phone and dial 314-436-7900 to get your questions answered live right now on the air. We got 2 hours for you today. So again, let's turn your house into the home of your dreams together. And I mention it all the time, but you know, this is my opportunity to really make a positive difference for all the listeners out there, your home, everything about it. But remember, without your questions, without your remodeling and maintenance challenges, this show just isn't the same. It doesn't help everybody out. So get in on it. Get in on the conversation. Have some fun with it today. I've got a couple things I'd love to go over. So don't hesitate to call again, 314-436-7900. And, you know, today, the day before, but did want to put a shout out to Happy Mother's Day for all the mothers, new, old, everything in between. I hope you all get a really great day and a really great break. I saw a little news story about basically what mothers are after is just a break, just to do nothing for a short time. So kids, just pick up the slack, do some things, help out. Do the things that your mom usually does and just help her out, and she will greatly appreciate that. Another thing I was wondering about is last night there was this whole big thing about the northern lights in the sky. Okay, I couldn't see anything. I saw kind of like some light looked about 3 feet over the top of the trees in the house, and maybe I'm kind of in the wrong area to see or wasn't high enough on a hill. I saw photos. I saw all this thing. There was even, I saw talk about it changing colors, go out at 11:30. Well, I didn't make it to 11:30, but so I didn't get to see it either color, green, anything. So, hey, if you saw that, if it was something cool, let us know about it. I think it's really cool and really exciting. And then the third thing I've got, so I put out a post on my social media this morning. I saw a client this past week, and he had this really, really old tool. Really couldn't even tell for sure right off the bat what this thing was. We kind of gave our guess at what it is and what his guess was being the owner of this tool. But I put some photos up on my Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn if you want to take a look at that. See if you can figure out, or maybe you've seen this tool and you know exactly what it is. Either give me a call here, let me know what you think this is later on in the show, maybe in the second hour. I'll put out what we think the tool is, but you can go to my Facebook, my Twitter, my LinkedIn, just search Rich Orris. It should find me very, very easy. Take a look at these photos and let me know what you think it is. Again, 314-436-7900. So some exciting things here to start the show out today. Hopefully we'll get some people that maybe have seen that and maybe know what it is and can call in and let us know what is what they think's going on with that tool. That would be cool. So we've got our first caller coming in, so let's jump right into that with Jim. Hey, Jim, are you there? Can you hear me?
I am, and I can hear you. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thank you for calling.
I have a, it's not a home improvement question, but somebody might have a similar situation that I'm dealing with on a home. Uh-huh. I have a cargo container that is used to ship product across overseas. I'm using it for a storage shed. And it has enamel paint on the exterior. I'd like to change the color, but the paint that is on there is real chalky. And I'm figuring on power washing it, but I'm also wondering if a coating of DSP or something like that might be useful to help remove that chalk film so that the new paint will adhere better.
Yeah, I would say definitely for sure you want to do a really good power washing to get as much of that off as you can, and definitely a primer. I won't know myself the exact name of this, but I would talk to the people at the paint store about what you're going on top of that enamel type paint, because they'll suggest a primer that is good to stick to that. Because when you have like different oil based paints, sometimes there's different primers, there's different ways to go over top of it. So I there is going to be an important primer you're going to want to put on there first to get that to adhere before you do another coat of that really good enamel base paint. And that's a really cool setup, though, because there's so many these containers out there that are no longer in use. And I'm sure a lot of people have seen the house out in St. Charles that this artist built that's actually made out of a bunch of storage containers. So
I believe I've seen pictures of that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you can get some good use out of these, and a shed is absolutely perfect if it's something, you're in an unincorporated area where they'll let you have that in your backyard.
Yes, this is on a farm, so it's a non-issue in that regard. Just trying to make it a little less gaudy than what it is. My concern was with the chalky film, if TSP was a good option, or if there was something else, muriatic acid or anything like that. Not really sure what the best approach is to get that film off and ensure a good adhesion. It's too massive to try to sand it or anything like that. That'd be a big project.
Yeah, so I would say some cleaner with the power washer first, running through and spraying it on there, soaking it on there, just like when you power wash siding or anything else, or
sure,
before a paint job, should do that pretty well. And then I would focus really highly on the first primer coat that gets sprayed on there, what it is, and
all right,
it's meant to go over top of what you have on there. You explain the type of enamel paint and the chalkiness to the paint store. And that's why we go to Reinecke or Sherwin-Williams and get to a professional. Some of these big box stores, you walk in there, these people literally know absolutely nothing about paint. I mean, I've been doing this over 30 years, and I don't know the exact name. I just know to make sure I go and explain it to a good professional and find out what they're really advising is going to stick to that. So, so these kids working at Lowe's for about 18 months aren't going to know anything like
that. No, I've had that experience on many challenges. So.
Oh, yeah. Yep. All right, Jim, hopefully that was helpful.
Okay.
Get you some good primer. I think you'll do well.
All right. Thanks for your help. Good luck.
No problem. Thank you. And, hey, for everybody else out there, we're going to get into our first break. But we'll have plenty more to come. And don't forget, jump in the conversation. Check out my social media. See if you can tell what this old tool is. And let me know. 314-436-7900 is where you'll find me. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, guys, we are back. Off to a great start. Got a ton of stuff going on today. Great call and question from Jim there. And again, if you have anything happening, anything you're working on? I know today has got to be a big day for that honeydew list, getting ready for Mother's Day, getting ready for, or maybe doing some work for Mom on that list tomorrow. If you have any questions on anything you're trying to do, trying to get through, feel free to give me a call right here, 314-436-7900. And so last week we did have some really good conversations from treating some oak wood outside on a front porch to helping Margaret remove some sticky glue residue from her basement floor. Spoke a lot about the residue, the fumes, turning off your gas to all your appliances, getting good ventilation, opening windows, running fans, making sure you do all that. We also spoke about sealing concrete outside and how right now is a great time of year for that task. And the kind of on Jim's topic with the paint, we spoke a little bit about the life expectancy of some factory painted siding, whether it's a newer siding, fiber cement type or wood, or an older pre-painted steel siding like they had on their home. This all has some sort of lifetime expectancy to it. And when you think about it and you think about where you're at, a lot of times you get these warranties, and they've got these statements that it'll last 20 years, it'll last 25, it'll last 30. But when you think about the true product and how it is and where you're at, I was playing golf the other day, and the UV index was at like 8 or something. They were saying it was really high. If you are in an area and you're facing south and you get this new painted product and you have that UV rating every day and the sun is out every day, that product is gonna wear and fade quicker than if you're somewhere else and that doesn't happen. So it's per area, and so that's why these warranties are prorated and kind of figured, and they're meant to spread across several different circumstances and areas and all that. So a lot into what that is and how that works. So, hey, we've got a call just came in. We've got Eric on the line. So, Eric, are you there? How you doing today?
Hey, Rich. How are you, sir?
I am wonderful. Thank you for calling. What do you have for us?
Well, you're going to turn me into a professional plumber. Are you ready?
I'm going to try, certainly.
So I moved into my house 10 years ago, and we had high water pressure and no regulator on the house. So they put a regulator in, brought the pressure down. Shortly after, I changed the kitchen faucet, and what I noticed recently is I'll turn the faucet on, and I can't remember if it makes a difference if it's hot or cold, and then I'll start out gangbusters with pressure, and then it just kind of tails off into like a weaker stream. And then my shower upstairs is kind of in the same vein, but that might be because it's one of those new, no scalding type things, because that was all redone with new stuff. But I was like, all right, let's take it apart and see if sand or any other thing is in there, possibly blocking the filter, because I know that can diminish it. And I got nothing. So I'm trying to figure out what steps should I do to kind of figure out what and where the problem is. Should I look at other faucets and judge their pressure to figure out if it's just like that line, just that faucet? You know, where should I even begin?
Well, and the hard part there is having a pressure regulator that will attach to your faucet. That's going to be the hard part.
Mine's on the main line coming in the house, because I had nothing coming in. Yeah, so, are you saying to judge the pressure coming out of the faucet?
Yeah, like if you were trying to actually find out what the pressure is when it comes out of the faucet, you'd almost have to kind of makeshift your own attachment to put it on the end of a faucet to get an actual pressure regulator reading. They're just not going to come standard to hook.
Yeah, I've seen the ones that work with their garden hose style attachment, which would be great, But yeah, you're right. Like, what am I going to do? Put it on the sprinkle setting and measure that? Like, that's not going to work.
Yeah. So, so what I would do if you did have a pressure regulator, one of the first things I would try is to put that on if you have on your main coming in. And that's the you put it on your hose bibs or you put it on the main coming in, because a lot of the mains coming in the house has a hose bib right there that you can put that pressure regulator on. Turn that on and see what that pressure is, and have somebody turn on the kitchen faucet and see what happens to the pressure on that regulator before the faucet, because this could be the actual pressure regulator just kind of sticking. And when you turn it on, it's up real high, and it runs high for a second, but then it kind of jolts back into action and lowers that down 5 seconds later or something after it's been running. And that could be actually in that new pressure regulator just kind of acting up. And you can change the pressure a little bit where you turn the screw
dial, right?
On that dial to kind of, so if you put a pressure regulator on there and you lowered it 5 pounds and then maybe raised it back up 5 pounds where you want it to be, maybe that would work on some of that stickiness. So, because I don't think it's going to be at your faucet, because the faucet, I've seen a lot of, you know, it's lower pressure at the new faucet because of all the new fittings and the how much water they're regulating they let through. People lose a little bit of pressure sometimes when they upgrade those shower heads, faucets, things like that. But the fluctuation really shouldn't be much of it's blocked at the faucet or there's calcium deposits at the faucet. It's something further down the line, probably with that pressure regulator, I'm going to guess.
Okay. Okay. So kind of like, is there some sort of gasket system? Because I know like you have the shut off at like all the toilets and you don't touch them for years. And the one time you go to use it, the whole thing falls apart and you end up having to replace that shut. Is it the same kind of thing? If you don't work that mechanism, maybe every year or so, couple of years, you know, it kind of gets goobered up like that.
Well, yeah, that mechanism inside the pressure regulator can definitely, it can get calcium deposits and that inside of it too, which will function because it's kind of like a spring function. And it basically is meant to add pressure as more faucets or items get turned on, so that when if you're in the shower and you flush a toilet, it adds that pressure as the demand doubles, so that you don't lose pressure where you're at. So it's a moving, working mechanism that it could be having a problem. As far as sometimes when it gets old, what happened to mine was it was so full of calcium deposits, I just, instead of trying to clean it and all that, I just replaced it. So if there's something going on in that new one regulator they installed, that could be part of what's happening.
That makes sense. And is that I have not looked at it. So with like garden spigots and your faucets, those things are, as long as you have shut off, it's pretty easy to go change gaskets and things inside of them.
Yeah.
With that pressure regulator attached to your main line, you'd have to shut it off, right? So that way water's not coming through.
Yep.
Is that a do-it-yourself, or is that strictly a plumber come in and do it?
Well, so it can be a do-it-yourself, but you've got to be pretty well into it and really good at following the directions on the pressure regulator. And because you can take that thing apart, clean it up, and put it back together and see if that changes it too. You just got to have the instructions and do it well.
Like an acetone or something like that, like a brake cleaner? Is that too aggressive? Or
Yeah, I probably wouldn't use like a muriatic acid. Would be good in a bucket or whatever with some water and just kind of clean all the parts and get it back together, make sure it's working. A lot of, we've talked about this a couple times too, because a lot of plumbers just don't do a lot of that because the time that's involved when you have an actual plumber, a lot of times they'll replace it and go, well, I can charge you $90 and $120, and let's just easy math makes it $210, or I can work with your piece and it'll take me 2.5 hours and it'll be $320, you know, just on scale. Where the, you know, so sometimes the professionals are like, it's something in there, we just need to replace it because it's just easier for them, quicker, and then they know, and it's less time sometimes, so...
Yeah, there's no, it comes with a guarantee from installation, a lot of the stuff. That makes sense.
Yep. All right. So I replaced my own pressure regulator. It was a do-it-yourselfer thing. I'm not a licensed plumber, but I've done a lot of plumbing in the past 30-something years of doing remodeling and construction and everything, and I've been that way my whole life. So if you're that type of person, you can't accomplish this.
Okay. But yeah, I like what you said because I shouldn't see differences at other faucets. So
yeah,
you know, I'm gonna run around and just do some kind of quick experimentation. I do think I have one of those like faucet based, like the garden hose style water readers.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe I can run that experiment. If not, they're easy to find. So
yep.
Yeah, that's what I wanted was a process to help me figure out where to even start. So I appreciate it.
Yep, no problem. I appreciate the call. Great question. Good luck getting it done. And we'll talk to you another time. And we're going to get to our middle break here. So for everybody, plenty of time, plenty of things going on. Again, don't forget, give me a shout, 314-436-7900 right here, right now. There's more to come in the next segment. Don't go anywhere.
KMOX Weekend at your service. Sponsored by Air Comfort Service Heating, Cooling, and Installation. The Voice of St. Louis. News Radio 1120. KMOX.
All right. We are back. Having a great time. Couple of great questions and conversations there in the last couple segments. And anything you need home improvement maintenance wise, I'm here. Don't forget to look at my Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn. Check out the photos of that old tool and see if you can give a guess on what this tool was used for. That would be another interesting thing. I'd love to hear about that. 314-436-7900 is where you can find me right here today. Live on the air. Let's get your comments, questions, and concerns out there. And, you know, it's something kind of touching on the DIY conversation with Eric and thinking of today and everything we're doing differently with the labor shortage and not enough workers to perform or fill all the roles that we have in our industry, and it's wildly across the board. So I'll tell you a little story about me because and some people can probably relate to being this way because even at a very early age, like if you were the type of child that found some old wood and built your own ramp for your bike with tools borrowed from someone else's dad or things like that. If you were the one modifying your bike and always tinkering with things, when our plumbing broke in our kitchen sink, I wasn't even old enough to drive yet. I literally rode a bike up to Ace Hardware. And now this is kind of feeding in with that conversation with Jim too, about who do you talk to and go to? Because I'm certain when I walked into Ace Hardware with this busted pipe from the bottom of our sink, I was talking to a retired plumber, it seems like. He knew everything, and he walked me through, here's the pieces, here's the other part, here's how you connect it, do you have this tool, do you have that tool, even bought a couple little tools to make it easier, went back, did what he said, and fixed the kitchen sink drain that had wore out. And just so I've kind of always been that way. and going through school and learning and having school counselors and the advice that they give you, even back in the late 80s, everyone told me, you got to go to college. Here, apply here, do this. This is what everybody does. And no one looked at me and said, you know, do you like tinkering with things? We've looked at your report card and you've gotten A's in gym, work release, and shop. And you're a great C student across the board and every other thing else. Maybe you should consider a trade. And a trade, once I tried college for a while and was not wildly successful, started getting into the trades of actually started mowing lawns. I was working at United Parcel Service, filling trailers in the evening, 5 days a week, and one or two days a week I would cut grass in between for people, and then just kind of started working with my father, doing painting, learning different things, and just worked my way all the way up to building room additions and houses, and came to work for Mosby, where Scott Mosby really started to change everything I knew about doing work and what you're trying to do and how you're trying to do it, and really was the first to say, I want to send you to school. I want to educate you on the things that you love. So when I was in college at a young age, I'm doing psychology, I'm doing math and different things, and nothing was really the area that I really, really loved. And so once I started learning about what I do and how it can be done better, I started to realize I can be a good student. It's just got to be the right thing that you want to do. So the trades is a great place to go. And I think everybody knows right now, everything's increasing. The pays are increasing. They're trying to get more people involved in it so that we have enough. So even when you look at how the pay scale is increasing for carpenters and plumbers and everybody, they've all gone up 20, 30, 40% in the past 5 years or so on their income. But when you look at the new people coming in, the helpers, the masonry helpers, the trying to get the new people in, theirs have gone up 40, 50, 60%. Because they need to get these people interested, and they're shrinking down the learning timeline to get them to a higher pay scale quicker. So there's a good demand, a good need. We are still in this labor shortage, and the advice to looking at what you like, what you do, are you great at DIY? Do you just figure things out? Finding a trade can be a really, really great place. And there's more opportunity for later on down the road than you might even think. Because think about just when I think about my career and what has happened to me in the past 33, 34, 35 years and where I'm at now, I was a carpenter. I built things. I learned things. I loved to do it. I controlled jobs. I learned to schedule them out and control them and really get a good job done well for a client. But if you would have asked me back then what I thought about, I'm going to be working on an iPad and a computer and doing all this upfront visiting with people and helping them in a much, much different way get to the right job or solution or all of that, I would have literally told you, I am never going to be working on a computer. I just don't think I would even have had it in me. And now advanced all the way to being on the radio. So there's so much opportunity in these trades. Just because you start out in a trade doesn't mean that's where you're going to end your career as far as just building houses or rooms or hanging drywall till you retire. So there is a lot of opportunity with some great, great companies out there to advance in your career later on down the road. I feel like I'm just living proof of that. So think about getting into these trades, especially younger, or advising some younger people. If you see that personality, college does not work out for every person out there, and these trades can, and you can be wildly successful at them and have a really good time. And I always enjoyed what I did, and I think that is very, very important to not only what you're doing now, but what you do throughout your whole career all the time. Do the things that make you happy, that you love, so that you'll enjoy it and you'll just be better off and doing the right thing and all that. Things just work out, come into play, and you'll just have a good time at it. Trust me, come on in. Like, Mosby is always looking, having different positions open and looking for tradespeople to come in. We are a licensed plumbing company. We are a licensed electrical company. We have our own painters. We have all these skilled trades with carpenters and lead carpenters and project managers to consider. So it's not just a remodeling person. It's a bunch of different type of employees across the board working for us. So consider Mosby as your next source. Also, it's a great place to work. I've been here, it'll be 23 years coming up this fall. So great place to be. With that, we're going to take our break here, and we will have plenty more to come right after this.
Now, back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, guys, we are back again. Remember, any questions, any comments, any concerns, whatever you have, and we have a great community out there. So if I don't know everything about everything, which I don't, turns out there. And, you know, it's something kind of touching on the DIY conversation with Eric and thinking of today and everything we're doing differently with the labor shortage and not enough workers to perform or fill all the roles that we have in our industry, and it's wildly across the board. So I'll tell you a little story about me, because and some people can probably relate to being this way, because even at a very early age, like if you were the type of child that found some old wood and built your own ramp for your bike with tools borrowed from someone else's dad or things like that. If you were the one modifying your bike and always tinkering with things, when our plumbing broke in our kitchen sink, I wasn't even old enough to drive yet. I literally rode a bike up to Ace Hardware. And now this is kind of feeding in with that conversation with Jim too, about who do you talk to and go to? Because I'm certain when I walked into Ace Hardware with this busted pipe from the bottom of our sink, I was talking to a retired plumber. It seems like he knew everything, and he walked me through, here's the pieces, here's the other part, here's how you connect it. Do you have this tool? Do you have that tool? Even bought a couple little tools to make it easier. Went back, did what he said, and fixed the kitchen sink drain that had wore out. And just so I've kind of always been that way, and going through school and learning and having school counselors and the advice that they give you, even back in the late 80s, everyone told me, you got to go to college here, apply here, do this. This is what everybody does. And no one looked at me and said, you know, do you like tinkering with things? We've looked at your report card and you've gotten A's in gym, work release, and shop and you're a great C student across the board and every other thing else, maybe you should consider a trade. And a trade, once I tried college for a while and was not wildly successful, started getting into the trades of actually started mowing lawns. I was working at United Parcel Service, filling trailers in the evening, 5 days a week, and one or two days a week I would cut grass in between for people, and then just kind of started working with my father, doing painting, learning different things, and just worked my way all the way up to building room additions and houses, and came to work for Mosby, where Scott Mosby really started to change everything I knew about doing work and what you're trying to do and how you're trying to do it. And really was the first to say, I want to send you to school. I want to educate you on the things that you love. So when I was in college at a young age, I'm doing psychology. I'm doing math and different things. And nothing was really the area that I really, really loved. And so once I started learning about what I do and how it can be done better, I started to realize I can be a good student. It's just got to be the right thing that you want to do. So the trades is a great place to go. And I think everybody knows right now, everything's increasing. The pays are increasing. They're trying to get more people involved in it so that we have enough. So even when you look at how the pay scale is increasing for carpenters and plumbers and everybody, they've all gone up 20, 30, 40% in the past 5 years or so on their income. But when you look at the new people coming in, the helpers, the masonry helpers, the trying to get the new people in, theirs have gone up 40, 50, 60%. Because they need to get these people interested, and they're shrinking down the learning timeline to get them to a higher pay scale quicker. So there's a good demand, a good need. We are still in this labor shortage, and the advice to looking at what you like, what you do, are you great at DIY? Do you just figure things out? Finding a trade can be a really, really great place. And there's more opportunity for later on down the road than you might even think. Because think about just when I think about my career and what has happened to me in the past 33, 34, 35 years and where I'm at now, I was a carpenter. I built things. I learned things. I loved to do it. I controlled jobs. I learned to schedule them out and control them and really get a good job done well for a client. But if you would have asked me back then what I thought about, I'm going to be working on an iPad and a computer and doing all this upfront visiting with people and helping them in a much, much different way get to the right job or solution or all of that, I would have literally told you, I am never going to be working on a computer. I just don't think I would even have had it in me. And now advanced all the way to being on the radio. So there's so much opportunity in these trades. Just because you start out in a trade doesn't mean that's where you're going to end your career as far as just building houses or rooms or hanging drywall till you retire. So there is a lot of opportunity with some great, great companies out there to advance in your career later on down the road. I feel like I'm just living proof of that. So think about getting into these trades, especially younger, or advising some younger people. If you see that personality, college does not work out for every person out there, and these trades can, and you can be wildly successful at them and have a really good time. And I always enjoyed what I did, and I think that is very, very important to not only what you're doing now, but what you do throughout your whole career all the time. Do the things that make you happy, that you love, so that you'll enjoy it and you'll just be better off and doing the right thing and all that. Things just work out, come into play, and you'll just have a good time at it. Trust me, come on in. Like, Mosby is always looking, having different positions open and looking for tradespeople to come in. We are a licensed plumbing company. We are a licensed electrical company. We have our own painters. We have all these skilled trades with carpenters and lead carpenters and project managers to consider. So it's not just a remodeling person. It's a bunch of different type of employees across the board working for us. So consider Mosby as your next source. Also, it's a great place to work. I've been here, it'll be 23 years coming up this fall. So great place to be. With that, we're going to take our break here, and we will have plenty more to come right after this.
Now, back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, guys, we are back again. Remember, any questions, any comments, any concerns, whatever you have, and we have a great community out there. So if I don't know everything about everything, which I don't, we can get to electricians and plumbers and all these different people out listening, out and about, that can then call in and give some of their suggestions and what they've seen also. So again, don't forget to give us a call in. You can find me right here, 314-436-7900. And we've got plenty going on today. A lot of great questions and conversations happening. We've got Gretchen on the line, has another plumbing question, I believe, for us. So, hey, Gretchen, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well. Thank you for calling.
And well, I have a question. It's a 60-year-old house, and there are two bathrooms, one in the hallway, one in the master bedroom. They adjoin, you know, the plumbing.
Yeah.
There's a join, and then they go down into the basement. Well, my stepdaughter takes a bath in the old master bedroom bath, and it leaks. It sprays between the washer and the dryer down in the basement. But I was down there, had her run the shower 5 minutes, and it didn't leak. And then her husband, ex-husband, made the other bathroom in the hall modern. You know, he put like a plastic liner around it and made it look really nice, like a modern, but Donna didn't want it. So I'm thinking when he was hammering away, he might have affected the shower pipes. Is that a possibility?
Well, I mean, it can be. If something gets rattled and wasn't secure, that could definitely do something.
Why would the one leak and the other wouldn't leak?
Well, and that's where narrowing that down to which tub, shower, and what's happening when it leaks kind of helps track that down. If it, whether it does it every time or whether it does it if you're doing, you know, if you take a bath and it doesn't do it, but you shower and it does, all those things, and looking at that can help guide to what the problem is. And if it happens constantly the whole time, or if it's just somewhat while it happens, that can even narrow down between supply lines and drain lines. So it could just be older and something happened, and the banging may have jarred something.
Well, I know, but the hall bathroom, that one doesn't leak because the two mm-hmm. stepdaughters were living there. And when the stepdaughter took the shower in the newer bathroom in the hall, it didn't leak. But then I don't live there, but when the other stepdaughter took the shower in the older in the bathroom that wasn't changed, it would leak. But then before calling the plumber, I wanted to test it out, but in 5 minutes it didn't leak. So I guess she's cast a lens. Before I call, I guess I should let the water run maybe 15 minutes and see what happens. She never takes a bath, so I don't know about that.
Okay, yeah, and that is a good another test that you can do is let the shower run with no one in there and see if it leaks.
Yeah, right.
Because if it just sprays,
the pipe somehow is between the washer and the dryer downstairs. It's not a big puddle. It's just like sprayed. So somehow, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and so sometimes it can be the system wall and or fixtures or how those fixtures are attached to the wall where it's not necessarily a plumbing leak. It's water getting around the shower valve or getting between two pieces of tile or behind something, or if there's caulk between the tub and the wall and it's getting there and then it's dripping down and kind of splattering. So it could be coming from areas that are plumbing related, but not a plumbing issue. So trying to track that down is definitely a project in its own in finding that, because there's a lot of things to look at and a lot of things to kind of test out and see if you can figure out where it's coming from. Because sometimes it's just a matter of taking the valve cover off and the rubber part that keeps the water running around it and not getting inside the wall is just old and worn, and you fix that shower valve from even just the cover, or you caulk it, and then that stops that water from getting back there. So it's not always a plumbing drain or a plumbing supply pipe. It's just water getting there. And that's why sometimes if you spray it without a person in it and you don't get water, or you get less water and you get more water when someone actually takes a shower, monitoring that could guide you towards, yeah, it's because the water's splashing onto a wall or a caulk joint or something somewhere, and that's where it's coming from.
So you, if I have her like run it for 15 minutes
with no one in there,
and it doesn't leak, then I don't know. Well, anyway,
it could be some of that wall stuff with the valve covers and with the caulking and things like that. So sometimes it's good to have a company like our company, Mosby Building Arts, to look at an issue like that, because we can look at, we understand the tile, the wall, the caulk, all the parts and pieces, and the plumbing. So we can sometimes narrow that down when it's not just a plumbing problem.
So could I just call your company and just have them come out and check it out?
Yep, you could do that. We would be happy to check it out. I'm going to get into our hard break here pretty soon, but our phone number there at Mosby is 314-909-1800, and you can ask them about it, and we can get somebody out to check that out for you. So,
okay, thank you so much, Rich.
You're welcome.
To the show all the time. Thank you very much.
Oh, I appreciate that for sure. For everybody else, don't forget, we're here. We got another hour coming on. 314-436-7900 will get you to me. I will talk to everybody in the next hour. Stay with us. That can even narrow down between supply lines and drain lines. So it could just be older and something happened and the banging may have jarred something.
Well, I know, but the hall bathroom, that one doesn't leak because the two mm-hmm. stepdaughters were living there. And when the stepdaughter took the shower in the newer bathroom in the hall, it didn't leak. But then I don't live there, but when the other stepdaughter took the shower in the older in the bathroom that wasn't changed, it would leak. But then before calling the plumber, I wanted to test it out, but in 5 minutes it didn't leak. So I guess she's cast a lens. Before I call, I guess I should let the water run maybe 15 minutes and see what happens. She never takes a bath, so I don't know about that.
Okay, yeah, and that is a good another test that you can do is let the shower run with no one in there and see if it leaks.
Yeah, right.
Because if it just sprays,
the pipe somehow is between the washer and the dryer downstairs. It's not a big puddle. It's just like sprayed. So somehow, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and so sometimes it can be the system, wall, and or fixtures, or how those fixtures are attached to the wall, where it's not necessarily a plumbing leak, it's water getting around the shower valve or getting between two pieces of tile or behind something, or if there's caulk between the tub and the wall and it's getting there and then it's dripping down and kind of splattering. So it could be coming from areas that are plumbing related but not a plumbing issue. So trying to track that down is definitely a project in its own in finding that, because there's a lot of things to look at and a lot of things to kind of test out and see if you can figure out where it's coming from. Because sometimes it's just a matter of taking the valve cover off and the rubber part that keeps the water running around it and not getting inside the wall is just old and worn, and you fix that shower valve from even just the cover, or you caulk it, and then that stops that water from getting back there. So it's not always a plumbing drain or a plumbing supply pipe. It's just water getting there. And that's why sometimes if you spray it without a person in it and you don't get water, or you get less water and you get more water when someone actually takes a shower, monitoring that could guide you towards, yeah, it's because the water's splashing onto a wall or a caulk joint or something somewhere, and that's where it's coming from.
So you, if I have her like run it for 15 minutes
with no one in there,
and it doesn't leak, then I don't know. Well, anyway,
it could be some of that wall stuff with the valve covers and with the caulking and things like that. So sometimes it's good to have a company like our company, Mosby Building Arts, to look at an issue like that, because we can look at, we understand the tile, the wall, the caulk, all the parts and pieces, and the plumbing. So we can sometimes narrow that down when it's not just a plumbing problem.
So could I just call your company, because,
yep,
and just have them, well, have them come out and check it out?
Yep, you could do that. We would be happy to check it out. I'm going to get into our hard break here pretty soon, but our phone number there at Mosby is 314-909-1800, and you can ask them about it, and we can get somebody out to check that out for you. So,
okay, thank you so much, Rich.
You're welcome.
To the show all the time. Thank you very much.
Oh, I appreciate that for sure. For everybody else, don't forget, we're here. We got another hour coming on. 314-436-7900 will get you to me. I will talk to everybody in the next hour. Stay with us.